This is Lake Effect from Milwaukee Public Radio. Good to have you with us today. I'm Jane Hamden. Talk about a rags-to-riches neighborhood. Milwaukee's Third Ward is a living testament to the power of urban redevelopment. As part of WUWM's Project Milwaukee, focus on economic development in the region, we look at the rebirth of this working-class warehouse neighborhood south of downtown. Ron Sanfilippo is a developer and president of the Historic Third Ward Association, where he works to revitalize this neighborhood where he grew up. Welcome to Lake Effect.
Thank you. Nice to be here.
The Third Ward we think of as this hot spot in Milwaukee, but it certainly wasn't always that way. Can you describe this neighborhood, say, 20 years ago?
Well, you might go back a little more than 20 years ago. In the late 70s, the local alderman suggested, because of the state of the Third Ward, that it become the red light district, where all of the things that nobody wanted anywhere else could be congregated. And that kind of was a catalyst that got a number of the building owners together and said, hey, wait a minute, we're not really excited about that concept, so maybe we should try to do something about it.
What kind of action was taken at that point that maybe got the ball rolling then?
What they did is they got together, they met with the city, but pretty much on their own, they figured out to use the business improvement district concept, and bid number two was brought into creation, and being able to use basically the self-taxing mechanism, they were able to finance the financial support of the organization of the Historic Third Ward. And through that, working together, began to lay the seeds for, you know, the massive redevelopment and all of the good things and the exciting things that have gone on and continue to go on in the Historic Third Ward. Incidentally, the Third Ward is actually the fourth ward, the fourth aldermanic district. But through the strength of everything that went on, you know, in the last 30 years, almost nobody knows that. It's clearly known as the Historic Third Ward.
Definitely has stuck. But with that business improvement district, the very first one or number two, which businesses are you talking about? They're not the kinds of businesses that we're going to associate the Third Ward with today.
Back then, the buildings were primarily warehouses. The buildings were manufacturing. In fact, one of the larger last manufacturing, Reliable Knitting, just ceased operations last year, and that building is being converted into mixed-use, primarily condominiums. So when you say business improvement, that's exactly what it means. They had a lot to improve back then because there really wasn't a whole lot going on. The decline in manufacturing had started. There were empty buildings. Many of the old warehouses were no longer usable as warehouses because everything was moving to, you know, single story out in the suburbs, lots of land. So there wasn't a lot of demand for multi-story empty warehouses, which now have been turned into wonderful, you know, timber and cream city brick residences and business, retail businesses.
Well, talk about some of the pioneers back then, because even if people saw the potential of this district, it takes a visionary to invest in an area that was considered for a red light district. And so who do you think some of the players were that helped see that vision?
Well, some of the key players, Jack Gardner, whose son now, Mike, is the Historic Third Ward Association treasurer. They owned a major building, the Dye House number two. Peter Renner, who's a local architect, was very heavily involved. In fact, he is the one who primarily designed the streetscapes. One of the major things that was done in the early 90s was to visually brand the Historic Third Ward through unique streetlights, redoing the streets, putting in bollards, a whole series of neighborhood improvements that basically say, hey, we're a little different. And they obviously were very successful. But there were a lot of names that really, you know, are kind of unnamed names now of people, many of the old, the Italian property owners. You know, the Historic Third Ward, my father was born in the early 1910, on a couple of blocks right in the middle of the Third Ward. I grew up, you know, being taken down to the church for the festivals and the fireworks and the street processions and, you know, the old church. And then when the freeway came in, it sort of finished off what already had been a period of decline. But many, many people have been heavily involved over the years. And the reason it's worked is because there has been strong volunteer leadership and participation, both on the Business Improvement District Board and the Historic Third Ward Association boards.
So the Third Ward has going for it very interesting buildings. They may have been run down, but they're cool. They attract young people and innovative businesses, has the river right there. What do you think other neighborhoods can learn from the experience of the Third Ward? What translates? You talked about volunteers and people caring a lot about the neighborhood.
Exactly, two of the major things. People have to care and people have to spend time and effort and money. We are constantly trying to assist other neighborhoods. We get calls from all over the country in that we're used as an example of it's worked. The Fifth Ward, which is just directly south of us on the south side of the river, is beginning to do some of the things that the Third Ward did 15, 20 years ago. I mean, one of the outcomes of being successful is that the big, cheap, artsy spaces are not cheap.
They're not cheap anymore.
And we're happy to see kind of a replication of where the Third Ward was 20 years ago happening in the Fifth Ward and, you know, in some of the other neighborhoods, both going to the north and going to the south. But the key is to get a core group of people together who are concerned, who are interested, who obviously have, you know, financial interest in this because they own the buildings and they're trying to do better, but also have a sense of city, a sense of community.
Well, do you think civic leaders and business leaders have learned from this example in the Third Ward to look at it now and look at what it was, you know, is so inspiring, I think, to many people. Well, do you think that they've learned how to replicate that or translate that to other neighborhoods?
Some have, some haven't. I mean, we have been fortunate in that our mayors, previous and current, have been very, very supportive. On the flip side of that, we have a difficult time sometimes explaining to some of the outlying district aldermen why helping the Third Ward helps themselves. We have created probably $400 million of additional assessed valuation in the Third Ward in the last 10 years that translates into a whole lot of property tax dollars. We don't use any more fire, any more police. At least to this point, we don't have that many kids in the Third Ward. That's beginning to change, which is nice. So there's no impact on the school system. So in terms of the citywide, we've created a lot of tax dollars that have been able to be used throughout the entire city. So when we get into a fight with an alderman from an outlying district about, you know, do we want little more expensive garbage cans that have a longer life that in the end save money, it gets a little bit frustrating. But overall, the city, the mayor in particular, our own alderman, Alderman Bauman, have been very, very supportive.
Now, the public market might be a symbol to some people that, all right, maybe we're starting to reach our potential in the Third Ward. You know, it opened with all this fanfare, then kind of stumbled, and maybe not as many people are going there as you would have expected. Do you think that the Third Ward is starting to reach that ceiling of how much Milwaukee can support it?
Well, the public market is a different animal. I mean, and as it turned out, there's a philosophical disconnect with reality when it comes to our public market. It was a 9-year project. A number of people worked very, very hard on it, did a wonderful job over a long period of time of putting it together. It's a great building. The original intent was for it to be a fresh market only. That doesn't jive with what the customers wanted. To some extent, you had a philosophy that didn't agree with what your customers wanted, who are primarily live or work within a mile. I mean, obviously, there's a lot of other customers, but that is what it's going to take. We have a lot of young professionals. A couple times a week, they want to buy fresh ingredients, go home and cook. Most of the time, they want to buy good stuff made out of fresh ingredients and be able to eat it on the spot or take it home and eat it. So the markets had to adjust. You know, it's like any other business. You can't have a marketing philosophy and say, okay, the customers are going to have to adapt to us. It doesn't work. We've been adapting to the customers. So we haven't given up any of the fresh concept, but we've added a lot of, it's done, you can take it home, you can cook it. But in particular, we're working very hard to create that building as a gathering place, that there's always something going on, that there's always a reason to come there, either live music or an art show or events, or you can even come and get married there now. Nobody has yet. We have one on the books, but they haven't actually done it yet. We have lots of other places in the ward that have yet to be redeveloped. In particular, the Italian Community Center Coach Yards, you have Acres back there. They're working very hard on an eventual redevelopment. I think it's been to their advantage that they haven't done it up till now, because they've been able to watch the neighborhood grow around them, which will help them decide what makes the most sense for them to do with their property. But that potentially is a hundreds of millions of dollars of redevelopment. Summerfest has continued to grow and develop, has become a very good neighbor. One of the things that we work very hard on is getting everybody to play nice in the neighborhood, and they have.
Well, now, as a little kid, literally playing in the neighborhood and growing up in a very different Third Ward, could you ever have imagined it looking the way it does now? What about your father and your family? I mean, could you ever have visualized it being the place it is today?
Well, I can, because I'm a little older. I was a strange kid. I used to hang out in the local history room of the Milwaukee Public Library on weekends. And to some extent, what we've done now, and we're very close to the circle being completed, that neighborhood originally was a place where you lived, you worked, you played. Initially, the Irish came into Milwaukee, and that was primarily an Irish neighborhood. Things happened. You had the Lady Elgin disaster. You had a major fire. And then the Italians, the Sicilians primarily, came into that neighborhood. We're back to that. We have a neighborhood now where you can live, you can work, and you can play. So it's been fun.
Thanks so much for joining us and telling us more about the Third Ward.
Great fun. Thanks for having me.
Milwaukee native Ron Sanfilippo is president of the Historic Third Ward Association. Lake Effect's look at the region's economic successes and challenges continues tomorrow with Marquette University's ACRE program, training minorities for careers in commercial real estate. Celebrated novelist Nick Hornby breezes through Milwaukee and takes time out to chat with Bonnie North. That's up next on Lake Effect from WUWN.